welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
If you got your Bible, I want to encourage you to get it out. Go ahead and raise it up above your head. If you use your smartphone or your tablet, go ahead and open up to your Bible app. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your very word today, that you would give us the leading strength, courage, and challenge of your Holy Spirit to put it into practice this very week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to be starting a new sermon series that is entitled Vision Map, Charting a Course for Kingdom Impact. So we're going to be talking about vision, having God's vision for both our individual lives, but then what does that look like collectively when he brings us together and puts us on a path of moving into the plans and the purposes that he has for us, not just as individuals, but as a church family as well. Vision is where we are going, and then there's an element of what it's going to be like. When you look at the way that vision works in the life of a person and in the life of the church, it answers where are we going into the future, and then it uses imagination with the leading of the Holy Spirit to think about what that could look like and what the outcomes could be. It's something about going and moving into the where and the how of doing the mission that God has already given to you and has for you. And this works with individuals and the church as well. And it's so important, listen to me, it's so important for you to know where we're going. It's important for you to know where we're going collectively, where we're going as a church, but it's really important for you to know where you're going as well, so that you can make decisions based on whether the direction that you're heading is actually the direction you should be heading and where you want to be. You want to arrive at the destinations that God has that are aligned with the plans and the purposes that he has for your life. I don't know if you've ever been on an airplane and somehow had this fearful moment that maybe you were on the wrong airplane. Has anybody ever been in that position there? Right, with the in-seat entertainment now, when I get on an airplane, when I'm going to travel, like I'm zoning out. I'm instantly trying to figure out how I can watch sports or cartoons or listen to music. Like I'm just trying to get here and let's get going. And there was a flight that I had got on that I kind of skipped all of the pre-flight stuff where they say, kindly give us your attention. I said, I will not. And I ignored that part and just kind of was kind of zoning out on my own, had my earbuds in. And then as we're getting towards the end of the flight, they have the attendants come on and they start talking about preparing for arrival. Well, when they say, you know, we're preparing for arrival at, they usually say the airport and the city and the destination there. And that was the case, but I missed that part of the announcement. Right, I was toning out all the things that were being spoken. And after they said, as we prepare for arrival at this place and at this airport, then they moved on to start talking about, and if you have a connecting flight to this other airport, then here's the things that you need to do. Now, I didn't hear anything up until the other city and other airport were on, and I had this panicked moment. Like I was in Home Alone 2, lost in New York, and I got on the wrong plane, and I was going to arrive in the wrong place, and there was just like this freak out moment that the destination wasn't really where I wanted to be, and then it just turned out that I wasn't paying attention, and I know that that's surprising to you. So it wasn't actually that, but I had that moment. I felt that way, and when it comes to the vision that God has for your life, when it comes to going in the direction that he has for you and arriving at those destinations, collectively as a church, it's really important that you know that the church that you're a part of is going somewhere and doing something so that you can say, this is a flight that I actually want to be on. But the other thing is that you need to be aware of how that works in your own life, because we can make assumptions that we're going in a direction that's going to take us to God's best for us, but we didn't actually pay attention to the plane that we boarded. We didn't actually look at the circumstances, the decisions that we were making. We just kind of started moving, and we went in motion and got kind of caught up in the ticket line, and now we're in flight to a place, you know what, maybe we don't want to go. And so this consideration of having a vision for your life is so important, both individually for you as somebody sitting in a seat, and together as collectively we make up the body of Christ, and we're going and doing what he has for us. We spent several weeks talking about our mission as a church, and mission is something that comes out of what you were created for. It answers the question, why do you exist? We exist for these things, and it talks about those things being the what. That's the what you do. But it's possible to have an understanding of your identity in Christ and even the mission that he has for you, to understand this is what I'm supposed to do, but have no idea where you're supposed to be doing it or how you're supposed to be doing it. And that's where vision comes and complements mission. It's where your direction and your trajectory aligns with your identity. And when those things get together, then you have impact in the kingdom of God. And to the degree that those things are disconnected, there's a diminishment of your ability to be effective in the things that God has planned and purposed for your life, and sometimes even to be aware that those things exist at all. For some of us, it comes as a surprise that God would have a plan for our lives, because our lives have seemingly been so chaotic, that God would have a direction and a destination for us because we're just trying to stay afloat. But the truth of the matter is that you can know who you are and you can know where you're going and you can get there in the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can find that all of that together will create an ability for you to impact the kingdom of God and the kingdom around you, if you can get those things to line up. And this is really important for us because there is a difference. There is a difference. If you're a note taker, I would write this down. There's a difference between the plans that we have for our lives and God's vision for our lives. There's often a difference. Now, they don't have to be different. They can actually be aligned. You can have the plans of your life, the considerations of the decisions that you're making. You can mesh those and line those up with the vision that God has for you. And that's actually ideally where you want to be. But oftentimes, there's a misalignment there, that there's a difference. And a lot of times, they're not together. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, in the NIV version, it reads this way. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart. Many are the plans in a person's heart. You have plans for your life. And even if you're not acting on them, even if you're not putting them into practice, you at least have some type of an imagination of a preferred future where maybe you don't have the courage to act on it, but you would say, you know what, someday I wish things would be different. You've at least got that, and maybe you've actually gone into a place where you have a plan for your life. Maybe you've got a day planner, and it's color-coded. Maybe you've got a to-do list, right? Maybe you've got a career trajectory, or you've got a financial outcome that you're working towards. You have plans, most likely, for your life, even if they're just imaginative ones that you haven't acted on. But many are the plans of a person's heart. But look at this. But it is the Lord's purposes that prevail. See, the key isn't just to have a plan. It's not just to be doing something. It's to align the way that you're living your life with the plans and purposes that God has for your life, individually, in your local and personal context, and then collectively together as God fits us together as the body of Christ for us to be doing what he's called us to do, existing into doing what we were created to be a part of. Proverbs 19:21 would suggest to us that we can actually have a plan for our life and still be lost. We can still be walking into the plans and purposes of our own life, but not accomplishing anything that's lasting or of consequence. The way that the Message paraphrase reads the same verse is, it says, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans. Are you in that place, right? Do you kind of go back to the drawing board and, you know what, this time I'm going to work this puzzle out. This time I'm going to get it right. And when we find our plans and the purposes and kind of the goings on in our life, when we find those things frustrated, might I suggest to you that your plans and purposes are out of alignment with God's vision for your life? Because if they were aligned with the vision that God had for your life, you wouldn't find those plans and purposes frustrated. You might find the circumstances and the obstacles and the difficulties that you have to press through frustrating, but you won't be frustrated in the plans and purposes. You would actually see those prevail, because God's what? God's purpose prevails. And so when we get that right, when we overlay those things, we can be moving forward into the things of God. And part of that requires the Holy Spirit to be at work in us. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 18, the Message reads this way, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. When you don't have eyesight, when you don't have perspective, when you can't see how the Spirit of God is at work in your life, there tends to be like a stumbling and a falling all over ourselves. And even the plans and the purposes that we have that we've constructed that may actually even be kind of good or have a benefit, we find ourselves just kind of wandering and meandering through those things instead of walking diligently and purposely on mission into a vision, to a destination that God has for us. We just kind of find ourselves stumbling all over. But when they attend to what he reveals, when we are aware of the things that God is doing and where he is leading and how he is at work, when we attend to those things, when we align our lives with those things, then what's the result? They are most blessed. Those things work out. Those things work out really, really well. And so when it comes to this idea of having a vision of impacting the world for the kingdom of God, whether it is as a church or whether it's in our individual lives, there's a need for the plans and the purposes to be aligned with the vision, the direction that God is leading and giving, and the Holy Spirit is the one who does that work. Don't make the mistake, listen to me, don't make the mistake that somehow just because you have a plan, that it's his plan. Don't mistake your plans for his plans, or you'll be frustrated, perpetually so, because your plans aren't going to come to the fruition that God's vision would for your life. They have to be aligned, okay? And I'm going to give you a couple things. Again, if you're a note taker, here's some ideas just to write down as we move on this morning. But here's some ways that you can distinguish between maybe a plan or a direction or a preferred vision that you have for your life and one that would be something that God would be a part of. Okay, one is this. If it's a godly vision, if it's a vision that God has for your life, it will require relational connection. There is no vision that God has for your life where you get to disassociate for others, where you get to dismiss or diminish them, or when you get to discount other people being a part of what God is doing. God's plans and purposes for an individual are always not just for the benefit of that individual, but for what that individual can contribute to the benefit of everyone else around them. We've used this illustration time and time again, but when Jesus calls us to follow him, the closer we get to actually him, the closer we get to others who are getting closer to him. There's no individual, just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's no personal, just Jesus for you, and you get to go and get close to Jesus, and he's just your Jesus, and somebody else gets their own. There is one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and as we gather to him, we gather what? Together. Okay, so God's vision for your life will always include other people having to be a part of that. I know that's kind of some bad news. Right? Because have you seen all the other people, Pastor? I mean, they're just not as good as me. Right? There's this tendency, but we have to stay relationally connected. It will also require me to stay connected to the Lord. You can have a plan and purpose for your life, and you can be moving in it right now, and God doesn't even have to be a part of it. You can discount him altogether. And unfortunately, for many of us, we do that. That's not how we start. We'll start with, hey, God, open a door. We'll pray for an opportunity, right? But then it's like as soon as he cracks the door, it's like we push it open and there we go, right? I just needed the compass heading and now I'm, wait, whoa, like hold on, right? If you are going to be walking into the plans and purposes that God has for you, if you're going to follow a vision map to impact the world for the kingdom of God, he's going to be a part of that and you've got to keep in step with him. It requires relational connection with God and with others. Number two is a godly vision for your life will require a commitment to obedience. Require a commitment to obedience. You'll have to fall in line with his leading and with his ways. And to the degree that you compromise that is to the degree that you begin to move off course or you begin to cripple your ability to move forward. You have to walk in obedience to the things of God. If he says, this is the direction that I have for your life, and this is the way that life works well, when we don't live life the way that he says we'll end up well, we won't end up living life well. It is those who are blessed who attend to the things that God reveals. And when we dismiss those, it's to our detriment and really to the detriment of others. It will require a godly vision for your life, will require intentional action. It will require you to choose to take a step. you will have to choose. And unfortunately for us, it doesn't take any other choice to just kind of wander and go in any other direction. You can just kind of put it on cruise control and just kind of wander in any other area of life. But if you're going to follow God into the vision that He has designed for you, you're going to have to choose and you're going to have to take that step. And it is going to require a lot of faith. Not just a faith that God has a vision for you, but a faith to overcome the cost to follow Him. Because a godly vision will always come with a cost. And so these are things that can help us just kind of weigh out the direction. What's going on in your life right now? How are you living your life? Listen to me. Where are you going? Are you going somewhere? Are you living life with purpose, on purpose? We've been using that language. Are you moving forward? Is there a destination? Are you going somewhere in your walk with the Lord or not? Are you just kind of wandering? A lot of times we settle for just kind of this vague, generalized idea of what God's doing. Like even the idea of God having a plan and a purpose for your life. Okay, if you believe that, listen to me, if you believe that, it's possible for you to say, all right, God's got a plan for me, and then just like that's it, like that's the end of it. Like that's the starting point of a conversation where you've got to dig and discover what that is and what to do with it. And you can walk through even uncovering your identity, right? Having a mission. This is why I exist. But that doesn't mean you're going anywhere or doing anything as a result of it. You know what you're supposed to do, but you don't know where you're supposed to go or how you're supposed to do it. You have to take steps to move towards that and to dig and to actually get that type of refined direction for the Lord. Some of us, we stop short with the identity piece. If you look at who God has created you to be, and you say, oh man, Pastor, I've spent so much time with the Lord, and He's shown me, I'm a teacher. Oh, He's created me to be a teacher. Like, that's really good. You know what you're supposed to do. But do you know where you're supposed to teach? Or how you're supposed to go about doing that instruction? Have you begun to fill in kind of the direction? Do you have kind of a vision for the type of teacher that you're supposed to be? Or are you going to sign any contract at any length to teach any subject at any school? Or do you think that God has a design for maybe where to put you and what content for you to be interacting with? I believe that He does. That if He would put so much effort into the detail of who you are, that you would know that you are designed to be a teacher, don't you think that He has a vision for what that's supposed to be and how that's supposed to be used by the kingdom of God? Absolutely it does. But many times we don't do the hard work. We don't do the digging discovery. We don't have the ongoing conversation. We don't keep relationally connected to keep moving forward with a vision for what God would have for us. We're content with just a general direction. So I'm going to teach, and I'll just, well, I guess this place is offering me a job, and I'll teach there. God can use you there, but that might not have been where He would have placed you had you listened. Sometimes we just settle for vagueness. We wander. We just wander. Listen to me. If you are just going anywhere, if I said, hey, where are you going in your life? If you were just kind of, well, I'm just turning over cards and knocking on doors and whatever kind of happens, I just go, if you're just going anywhere, can I tell you, you're going nowhere. If there isn't a vision for your life, it's hardly probable that you're aligning the where you're going and how you're doing life with actually the identity that God has given you. It's really unlikely that you're going to wander into that, that you're going to stumble into that. You don't find examples in Scripture of people wandering into the promises of God or stumbling into fruitfulness. They stumble into the miraculous and they stumble into the presence of God as He comes and has to interrupt them and almost wake them up from their wandering. But wandering is never something that somehow produces fruitfulness or fullness of life or spiritual maturity or health or success. In fact, in Scripture, wandering is always spoken of as a negative. It's always a negative thing. I was watching Christopher Robin yesterday with my kids, and Christopher Robin comes back to the 100-acre wood, and he's a grown man, and he doesn't have time for this. He's got a job, and he's got deadlines, but he's trying to help Winnie the Pooh find his friends. It's a delightful movie, and I would highly recommend it. But as they start walking through the 100-acre wood, and nothing looks familiar to him anymore, he says, you know what, we just need to go in a straight line, and that'll keep us from getting lost. And Winnie the Pooh, this is his motto in how he kind of goes through life. He says, well, I always get to my destination, this is Winnie the Pooh, by walking away from where I've already been. And it's cute, and it's humorous, but it's not really that helpful. You can't just wander to your destination. And you can't just move and hope for the best. Now, in the movie, it's looking to kind of dismantle this, trying to just plan every part of your life and to have more of a childlike, whimsical, imaginative way forward. And there's some health to that. But in a spiritual sense, if you're just trying to just, I'm going to just move from where I've been and hope that that works out, you're not going to go anywhere. Wandering in Scripture is never positive. It's always the consequence. Listen to this. You can go and look this through yourself if you just want to do a word search on the way that wandering or wander is used in Scripture. But it is often aligned with these ideas. It's a consequence of disobedience and complacency. It's often a descriptor of a lack of faith or the result of a lack of faith. It is a complement to being spiritually blinded. And it is always indicative of being relationally disconnected. Old and New Testament, Peter, Paul, Old Testament prophets, Word of God. It's never positive. Because when we just wander and meander through life, we're just kicking rocks and going through the motions. And we may be existing, but we're not living. And there's nothing of eternal life in the quality of a wandering life. We've got to have direction, and we've got to have purpose, and we've got to move forward. And when God speaks a vision to how you should live your life, not just what your life should be about, vision provides the information to act on for you to have a planned and a purpose life, for you to live life with purpose and live a life on purpose. And this works with the lives of individuals, and this works in the life of the church. And especially, listen to me, in the life of the church, it was always intended. Sometimes we'll buy into the individual component because we're highly individualistic, aren't we? We're highly me-focused in our American Western culture. In fact, a lot of times we start with what's in it for me or how does this affect me or why is this about me, and then we'll radiate out, and in our graciousness, maybe we'll extend it into the community around us. We're very me-centric. But Jesus' intention for this idea of to have a mission identity and to have a direction, a vision that drives it, he intended it for the church in the very, very beginning. Jesus gave the disciples not only a mission, but he also gave them the beginning details of the vision for the early church. In Matthew chapter 28, if you got your Bibles, we're going to jump in here. Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to be looking at verses 19, first part of verse 20. The words will be on the screen, but you can get there yourself as well. But Jesus says this as he is commissioning his disciples, as he is getting ready to ascend to heaven, he's going to send them out. Many of you are familiar with this part of Scripture. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. This is a mission statement. This is a statement of Jesus of, hey, this is what you... right? This is what you to be about. This is why you exist. This is a mission statement of the church. The church exists to do this, to go and to make disciples, teaching people to obey what Jesus had commanded and taught and demonstrated. It's a mission statement. It's why the church exists. As Mark closes out his gospel, and as he talks about the same type of thing, the same last statements of Christ to the disciples. He's a little bit more succinct, but he says it this way, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Again, this is a mission statement. This is a macro mission statement. Look at me. Every church, in every context, in every place, every people group, in every time in history, past, present, and future, this is what the church is supposed to be about. The church is supposed to be about reaching the broken world with the hope of Jesus. The church is about making disciples. Now, that's a really big, broad, vague mission statement, isn't it? Every church in Sterling should be reaching the lost and making disciples. But as you consider that mission, every church in Sterling doesn't need to be doing that the same way in the same place. Because if everybody did it in the same way at the same place, we would all reach one type of people. Are you tracking with me? So as it narrows, as it becomes individual and personal, it becomes more detailed to the place of how does Sterling Foursquare do this? And we walked through a series on this, right? We do this by offering hope to the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. And that comes out of our DNA, who we are, who the church has always been, and who it's designed to continue to be. If any other church decided to grab that and say, that's who we are, that's as crazy as somebody else trying to get your identity. We don't need kingdom identity theft. We need to understand our kingdom identity and then to move out of that. It answers, this is what we do. So Sterling Foursquare, this is what we do. This is how we go about doing that kingdom mission. But that mission is really overarching. Every church should be doing that. But it's important to understand how it's localized and how it's personalized. And you see this even in the New Testament in Paul's writings in Galatians chapter 2. He talks about how his macro mission is microed to, I am the apostle to the what? To the Gentiles. And Peter is the apostle to the Jews. See, so even Peter and Paul knew how to personalize it and localize it and to understand their personal identity against the backdrop of the overarching mission, and then they were moved with a vision to do that. And they did it really different, right? Where Peter spent most of his time localized in Jerusalem, and Paul spent all of his time out, all over the place. Multiple missions, through. And so it's something that we recognize there. But Jesus didn't just give a mission and just leave it at that. This is what's so interesting. In Luke chapter 24, as he's closing his gospel, Luke gives us the inclination of the mission, but he starts to give us some details about what it looks like to have a destination. He gives us some vision as well. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 47, it says, "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." That sounds a lot like what Matthew said. That's a lot, or what Matthew recorded. That sounds a lot like what Mark recorded. But then Luke adds more than this. He gives us less detail about the mission, but then more about where it's to go and how it's to begun or be done. It's going to begin at Jerusalem, verse 48, "And then you are my witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until I have clothed you with power from on high." Luke, as he's recording this, gives us really some vision markers here. It's not just about what the church is supposed to be doing, but where it's supposed to be doing it and how it's supposed to be doing it. Luke gives us that. And it begins in Jerusalem. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 1, which is where we're going to go right now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Luke writes the Gospel of Luke, but he is also the author of the book of Acts. It's a two-volume set. They go together. They need to be considered in that way. And so as he writes Luke, he's considering the life, ministry, and kind of the gospel of Jesus. And then as he moves on to Acts, he begins to record the birth of the church and the growth of the early church. And really what you get with Luke and Acts, you get, look at what Jesus did and how he did it. And then you get in Acts, look at what the church did and how they did it like Jesus. It actually gives us a picture of how to walk it out and what to do with it. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he alludes to the last part of Luke chapter 24. As he's recording Jesus' words, Jesus says this to his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So there's the key out of Luke chapter 24. This power that they were supposed to wait for was the Holy Spirit to be in them, present, and at work. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Now it expands a little bit, not just in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What is Jesus telling them there? Not just what they're supposed to be doing, but where they're supposed to do it. It's a vision statement. Where is the church going? And what could it look like in the future? And that ultimately, the vision that Jesus had for the church is not that it would be in Jerusalem, but that it would expand and impact the world. The church had somewhere to go. The church had somewhere to go. And when you look at this, a lot of times we talk about this as being Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And we think about it as simple geography. And there's a place for this, so I do want to start there. But Jerusalem was just kind of that starting point, right? It's the city. And then Judea and Samaria really stretches out to the region around them. And then the ends of the earth. I've heard people talk about it this way when they try to contextualize it to a local context. For you and I, our Jerusalem geographically would be Sterling. Or if you're from Haxton or Fleming or Iliff or Pete's or Marino or Atwood, like that would be your Sterling. And then your Judea Samaria would be what we would call Northeast Colorado. And then your ends of the earth would move out from there. That's okay. That's appropriate, but it's a little bit too simplistic. Okay, it's considering just kind of a near far scenario. It reminds me of Grover on Sesame Street, right? Near. You guys all want to do it, right? Far, right? You want to do the little dance with it? You want to do the funny voices? Like, we all remember that. Near, far, near, far. And he just keeps coming back and forth, back and forth. And that is appropriate in this, but it's too simplistic. It negates all the different hurdles that come up when it comes to the vision that God has for the church. For the church to move from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, it wasn't simply just a move of geography. It wasn't just trying to get the people in town to get out to the countryside. The distance between a Jew and a Samaritan was almost insurmountable. They were socially and politically at odds with one another in a volatile, violent, physical sense, where they didn't associate with one another, let alone talk or commingle. And so when we consider this, when we're talking about Jerusalem, your Jerusalem, listen to me, your Jerusalem isn't just where you live. It's not just your Sterling or your Atwood or your Marino or fill into the place of your residence. Really, what your Jerusalem is are those closest to you who already look like you or are like you in some way. That's your Jerusalem. And moving out from that context, your Judea, Samaria, it's not just Northeast Colorado in a sense of geography. Your Judea and Samaria are those who are still kind of close to you but are really far from you relationally. They're the people who are distant from you because of cultural, social, racial, political, fill in the other old type of differentiations that keep us separated. That is your Judea, Samaria. And then your ends of the earth are those who are far from you and are far from being like you. That's really the consideration here. But listen to me, that is the vision God has for the church. Jesus' vision for the church was that the mission of making disciples would not be stopped by any of those types of barriers, but there was a place to go, and there was a how to accomplish it. And here's the how, right? The where. Where is this going to go? The church was to go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. This is where we're going. There was a vision for the church, but the how is so important. The how is in the power of the Holy Spirit. The how is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Vision begins to answer where are we going and how are we going to get there. Mission answers what are we doing. Vision is where are we going and how are we going to get there. And it begins to be shaped and led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit provides the strategy to implement the vision and fulfill the mission of the church. If you're trying to live a life that is purposeful apart from the Spirit of God, you will be frustrated. If you are trying to live a life of consequence and influence apart from the Spirit of God, you are going to be perpetually frustrated because it's going to require the Spirit of God to move you forward into the vision that God has for the life that you're living. What are you doing? Do you have an answer for that? Are you doing anything? Or is what are you doing is just, I'm surviving, I'm going to work, I'm paying my bills, I'm trying. Like, that, there's something to be commended about that. You do need to go to work, you do need to pay your bills, you should put some effort into the life that you're living. But man, that should be the lowest expectation that you have. Because when Jesus comes and says, I have come that you would have life and that you would live it to the full, full life sounds a lot more than that to me. But if you want to move into the things that God has for you, you've got to move forward with a vision that he has for your life. And part of that is going to have eyes that look outside of yourself, that begins to consider, God, how am I impacting my Jerusalem? Those who are closest to me, who already like me, am I making any kingdom impact on them at all? Because I can tell you, it's really unlikely that if you're not impacting those who already like you, who are already next to you, it's really unlikely that you are going to impact anybody further out in the concentric circles. Somebody who's close to you but isn't already like you or proximity to you or somehow aligned to you, you're probably not going to reach them if you can't reach the person right next to you. And if you can't make that one little step to get to people who are already close to you, who are different than you, how are you going to get to those who are really far from you, who don't have a clue about you and what's going on in your life? You can't get there without that. We've got to have a vision for that to move forward into that. As a church, I just want you to know where we're going. We know. Like, we've talked about our mission, Hope, Thrive, Equip, Launch. You can circle back and you can dig into that and you can own that as an identity. But listen to me, we don't just have what we're doing. We know where we're going and how we're going to get there. And we have a trajectory for the next 10 years, and our trajectory is to impact our region. Like, we're not concerned with just having a church that's healthy and growing and just kind of gathering more. We have a heart to do what Jesus said is the strategy of the kingdom. We need to impact the region around us. And we've done a great job, if you've been with us over the last several years, but really the 9 years that we've been here, we've done a great job of engaging our Jerusalem, and we've done a really good job overseas in Thailand. But now the season that we're moving into, the vision that God has for us as a collective, the place that this plane is going is to impact our Judea and Samaria. That our heart would rise to say, you know what, we're not just responsible to care for people who show up at church on Sunday morning. We're responsible to impact all of Northeast Colorado. We're called to impact all of that and more. And so there's this vision, there's this excitement, there's this movement that God is doing. And you need to know that that's the direction that the plane's going, because right now you're in a seat. So you've got to at least be attuned and know that when we start doing that, when we start acting on that, when you start seeing that put in motion, you're like, wait, what? I thought I was going somewhere else. No, that's where we're going. You need to know that. But you also need to know that as a church family, we've done this. We know, listen to me, we know where we're going. Do you know where you're going? And almost always when you're in church, when somebody says that, it's kind of this heaven-hell conversation, right? Do you know where you're going if you died tonight? Like, that's a good thing to know. But that's like the first thing that needs to get resolved. And then you need to start asking, okay, now how do I live my life in light of that? How do I live my life in light of that? Listen to me. How will you be used by God to impact the region around you? If you're with us over the next 10 years and you know that we're looking to make a difference in Northeast Colorado, how will God use you to make a difference? Have you thought about that? Do you have a direction? Are you moving in any purposed alignment with that? Do you have a mission and a vision for your life? Or do you just have a plan that you're hoping is going to work out? Do you know who you are and who God's designed you to be? Do you know who you've been called to be? Do you know what your life is supposed to be about? What you are doing? And if you do, where are you going as a result of that? Do you know where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do with that? Our whole equipping process is to help you find answers to those questions. Even as a church family, we've set things in place to try to help us know that at an individual level. Do you have a mission and a vision for your life? Is the plan and the purpose that you have, that you're living towards, and you would say, man, this is the direction that I'm going. Can I ask you, is it Holy Spirit inspired? Is God actually a part of that, or are you just doing your best to fill in the gaps? Are you in this place of many plans are in the heart of man, but I don't actually know what the purposes of God are for my life? You can work really hard at being super frustrated at your plans that don't work out. Do you actually have the Lord speaking into those? Do you have an answer for those things, or are you simply just busy doing nothing of consequence and going nowhere in particular? Because listen to me, those are the two options. You're either in these conversations with the Lord and he's moving you forward with intention and purpose and you're actually going somewhere with purpose and on purpose, or, listen to me, you're not doing anything that matters and you're not going anywhere anyway. Because you can't wander into fruitfulness. You don't wander into promises. In fact, the whole wandering of the people of God in the Old Testament, it was the consequence of not having enough faith to move into the promises of God. They weren't required to wander into the promised land. They were supposed to go there and enter in. But because of their lack of faith and their disconnection relationally from the Lord, it cost them 40 years of just kicking rocks. And I know that, listen to me, in your heart of hearts, the life that you live wants to be a life that's lived of consequence. And in your heart of hearts, you want to be going somewhere to do something that matters. And so will we allow the Lord to really awaken that in us and to take those steps of faith that require us to move forward into having a vision, a godly vision for our life? Consider this. Have you begun to live out your kingdom mission in just your immediate context? Just in your home or in your workplace? Just the people who are next to you that already speak your language and already think like you? Are we making inroads and impact there? And if you are, then how can God build that? How can he build upon that? What's your next yes? What's your next step of faith? What pushes you forward once again into the things that God has for you? What is your area? Where do you have influence? Where do you have inroads? Where are you able to be used by God? How will you make kingdom impact? See, those questions get really, really personal, because I can stand up here and say that as a church staff and as pastors and as leaders, we've spent time discovering who we are and understanding the mission that God has for us, and we've laid out a trajectory to move forward into the where God is taking us and how we're going to get there. But if it's not really helpful to you unless you can answer questions for yourself. What is God doing in you? What is he stirring in you? And what do you bring as that? Because the way that you impact the region, it may or may not be in the walls of this church. Do you understand that? Do you recognize that? And in fact, for most of us, it's unlikely that that would be the case. It'll be you volunteering. It'll be you standing for justice and giving a voice to those who have no voice. It will be you being generous with your resource so that things can be mobilized and things can be changed. More often than not, we are really prone to be generous with our complaints than we are with anything else that will bring resolution. How is God going to use you to impact Sterling, Marino, Atwood, Haxton, where you live? How is he going to use you to make a difference in Northeast Colorado? And how can those missions and the vision that God has for your life, how can that get onboarded here, and how can we get there together? See, those are the questions that we have to ask. Those are the questions that we need to ask the Lord to walk us through. But know that it's going to require you to be relationally connected to both him and to the people around you. It's going to require you to be obedient. It's going to require you to take an intentional step of faith. And it absolutely will cost you something. For us to be a church that says we're going to take the responsibility of loving all of Northeast Colorado on ourselves, and we're going to do it well, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us people. It's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us money. There's probably things that it'll cost us that we can't even anticipate right now. But we've already counted it, and we're already boarded and going. I hope that you are expecting just a wild ride with Jesus the next 5 to 10 years, because he is going to change. He's going to change this city, and he's going to change this region, and you get to be part of it. You get to be part of it. That's the beautiful invitation that he gives us, to be a part of the things that he is doing. The pastors that I meet with that pray for our area, we have a, if you want a crazy thing to be praying for, we have a prayer goal to see 1,000 souls in Northeast Colorado come to Christ this year. I know, that sounds like a lot, doesn't it? I don't know if I want to cheer for that. It's a lot. Here's the cool thing, though. In the churches that are represented there, from the beginning of the year, we've already had over 25 people receive Christ. So, I mean, you can weigh that against 1,000, you know, but I like to weigh it against the zero. You can look at it against the thousand. I like to weigh it against the zero. Look at me. God is doing amazing things. And if he can do that without your participation, what can he do with you? What can he do with you? I'm going to ask you to stay seated. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Worship team, if you would come back forward. I want to pray for you as you're seated. And I want you to consider this question. Where are you going? Okay, this can be a salvation question for you if it's appropriate, right? Are you following Christ or not? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? If that's not something that you've done, you need to resolve that. You might as well add your name to the 25. Let's keep this rolling. But it's really possible that you can be a believer and still not be going anywhere. You're just going through the motions of the life that you're living. Do you need a Holy Spirit-inspired vision for the way that you're living your life? You can find some of the answers to that in the vision that we have as a church, because if you're here, then God's brought you to be part of that. But it's much more personal, it's much more local to that when you begin to let the Spirit of God speak to you. And maybe you're in a place where you're not really going anywhere in your life, you're not really moving forward because you're relationally disconnected to the Lord, or you've held people at a distance because you've been hurt before, and maybe he needs to renew something in you in that regard. Maybe you're in a place where you're walking in disobedience. There's an area of your life that the Lord continues to bring up, and there will always be things that need to be sanctified, always be things that need to be refined, but maybe you're an individual who has a thing that you've had a conversation with your Heavenly Father about, and he said, hey, now's the time for this, and you've said, no, I'm not, I don't want to do that right now. Maybe your step this morning is to be obedient, to surrendering that to the Lord. Maybe for you this morning, you've kind of had that direction. The Lord's spoken to you, but man, you haven't taken that first step. You haven't made that first yes to move forward in that. That you haven't taken intentional action to move forward. And that can be for a variety of reasons. Maybe it's scary. Maybe it's going to cost something. Maybe you can't see the step after that, so it's hard to take the step in front of you. For you, there needs to be a courage that arises by the leading of the Holy Spirit that you would say yes and that you would act, that you would choose today. That you would be decisive. Maybe you're in a place where you lack the faith, where it's hard to believe that God has spoken clearly or directly to you, or that the direction that he has is good for you. Maybe you can't see the next pasture, but you can clearly see the valley of the shadow of death he's trying to walk you through, and you're reluctant. But he always goes before us into those areas, and he always leads us through those. You can revisit Psalm 23 this week. Read that for yourself and ask the Spirit of God to do something new to recreate that in you. Or maybe it's just you haven't wanted to count the cost. See, what I know about what God's doing, and really about what every church context brings to itself, that right now in the seats there are evangelists who haven't taken steps. There are pastors that are reluctant. There are missionaries. When God gives a mission to a church, he brings all the resources there. They're already present. And maybe what it would cost you to be the hands and feet of Jesus in your Jerusalem or your Judea, Samaria, your ends of the earth, maybe it's something that you shy away from. May he give you the courage to let go of the little that you have to receive the greater that he has for you. He never asks you to give something up for his kingdom where he gives you less as a result of that. God is a God of goodness. He's a generous God. Whatever he would call you to this morning, whether it's to serve or to step out, to speak up, to give, whether it's to say yes with a capital Y to something big and crazy, or just a little yes to take a small step of faith, whatever that would be, he would do that today. God, would you seal that work in us? Would you call us forward into all that you have for us, Lord? Would you begin to chart a course in our lives for kingdom impact, Lord, that we would live a life with purpose, on purpose. And Lord, that we would be moved by you to make a difference in the world around us. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, and I want you to consider one last thing before we close. Look around real quick. Just look at the people here. Just because I want you to have a face for the context. I'll say something nice, I promise. If each one of us brings ourselves, our gifts, our talents, our resources, our efforts to accomplish what God is calling our church to do, if we live intentionally, if you live intentionally towards impacting the region that we live in for Jesus, here's one thing that I know for sure. I know that we would need a new 10-year vision in much less than 10 years. See, when God gives us destinations, listen to me, church, when he has a direction for your life and when he gives you a destination, he always fully intends for you to arrive there. And we oftentimes live our lives as if the destination is always far off and that we're never supposed to get there. Your mission, your why you exist, the what you're supposed to be about, that will rarely change. But the vision of your life should change frequently if you're actually getting somewhere, if you're actually getting to the place that God has for you. And so if we all moved, if we bought into this, if we said yes in our individual lives to unpack the mission and the vision that he had for us, and we bring that together and we put that together in the mission and the vision that he has for our church, we align those things with the leading of the Spirit of God, I can tell you that our 10-year vision, our 10-year, imagine what it could be, will be here much sooner than that, and we will have to start reimagining the next great, grand thing that God has for us. And I think that's where the Christian life is actually supposed to demonstrate a difference between what the world often sees, which is a bunch of people with their head down, slowly plodding forward into nowhere in particular to do nothing of real consequence and just at the end of it, hopefully get to heaven. Man, abundant life is so much richer than that. Can we believe for great things? Can you believe to get there together? Amen? Amen. Action steps are up on the screen. Number one, begin to pray for Sterling or whatever your Jerusalem is and Northeast Colorado. Begin to put that on your heart. Begin to put that before the Lord. Number two, consider how you will be used by God to impact the region around you. How about you start in your Jerusalem? Who's closest to you and already like you? And then number three, take just one simple step this week forward to have an intentional action towards that.